Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everyone to Psychic Talk Radio. This is Dax Carlisle, and today it's Cooch's Cosmic Cafe. That's right, with the fabulous tarot master and tarot author Cooch Daniels herself. We're going to bring her on. Hey, Cooch. Hold on a second. We're having a little problem with the switchboard. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's try refreshing the switchboard. We're having some technical issues here. Hang on just a second. Let's start that over, Cooch.
You're in charge.
Yeah, I'm just gonna start in just a second, and we're gonna do a brief second of silence so I know what to cut out. We're just gonna cut this part out here, so hang in for just a second. And let's bring her on, the fabulous Cooch Daniels. Hey, Cooch, how's it going?
Dax, hi, it's great. How in the heck are you?
Oh, you know, suffering in the heat down here, 111 degrees.
111? You have air conditioning, right?
Yeah, we have AC, but it can barely keep up with it, let me tell you. It's still 80-something in the house itself. So, oh, my God, it's just crazy this time of year. You know, it gets really hot here in the desert, but we're muddling through and keeping up. You know, it's been busy with the radio shows and everything. Plus, I've been having this month-long sale going on because it was my birthday. It's my birthday month. It's Pride month. And I put my readings and everything on sale, numerology reports, and boy, keeping up with all that, the orders, ooh, but it's been fun, let me tell you. What's up with you?
Oh my gosh, what is up with me? I'm on vacation, it's summer. I've given myself permission to not be writing a book for the first time in like years, so I don't have to be stressing about writing right now. I'm writing some poetry, which I actually really love, so I'm kind of still playing with writing. And my newest book, Sacred Mysteries, the Chakra Oracle, because it's an oracle deck plus a book, I got a copy of that from Schiffer Publishing with a nice bottle of wine, and that means it's almost going to be released next month, so I'm getting all psyched up and starting to advertise for that on social media. And so my life is – I actually have time to do some reading of my own writing. I was actually just reading Throw It at the Crossroads, which is something Victor and my partner and I wrote. And it's like, oh, my God, because I wrote it like – 3 or 4 years ago, I'm reading it, and it's like I'm reading somebody else's writing. I don't even – it's like, is this me? Did I write this? Oh, my God. I'm really – oh, it's pretty good. Darn. So I'm actually
in alignment with that I recently stumbled across an article or something I wrote, you know, like 10 years ago, and I'm reading it, and it's like a completely different person had written this. It's amazing.
And isn't it interesting? It's like, oh my God, this is really good. I wrote that? Wow. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but sometimes, like when I read that, I was like going, oh, wait a minute. Wow, I was really smart back then. What happened?
You're just putting it in a different kind of rhythm. it's still there. You're still really Mr. Gemini, Mr. Intellect, very smart man.
Mm.
But you're moving at a different rhythm, you know. You've got different things on
your... Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Different priorities now. You know, I do a lot with the veterans and my American Legion post, the VFW, Disabled American Veterans. I'm starting to see clients again, specializing in helping the veterans post-traumatic stress and quitting smoking because veterans smoke at a rate double the national average. And there's a lot of other things, stress and weight loss and things like that, you know. And so my priorities have shifted quite a bit.
Well, are you doing anything with Pride Month? Like, I know there's a lot of parades going on today, even. There's so much in the news about parades.
It's all month long, you know. But because of the heat here, we actually do our parades in the cooler months. So Phoenix does their pride around, I want to say, March, April. And then we do ours typically in October. This year, I think, though, it's September 28th is when we have our pride after it cools down a bit. Some of the other cities like San Diego, it's beautiful weather, but they wait till July because they don't want to compete with the events going on in San Francisco and then the ones going on in LA. And so they figure they'll wait a month. So they do theirs in mid-July in San Diego. We typically go out there for that. I don't know if we're going to make it this year, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, when I'm watching stuff on the television, I'm going, oh, my God, it's outrageous. And it's so wonderful because there's so much more acceptance and so much more, so many more people who are just, you know, waving the flag and celebrating. And I'm like, this is just so healthy. Because
that's
people aren't afraid anymore of coming out of the closet, I guess.
Right, right.
Dax, do you find in Arizona that a lot of teens are changing their gender? Because in California, it's almost like a wave of teens that are just, you know, they're very upfront, and they're like 15, 16, 17-year-olds, and they're just like, they're coming out and saying, you know, I'm not the gender that you think I am. And there's so many young people that are changing their name from like Kyle to Kylie. And I mean, I don't know. I just know so many people who know people or who have children that are changing their genders. And
wow.
It seems like, yeah, it just seems like it's never been so upfront and so many young people that are free enough to come and say, I'm not the sex you think I am. It's just blowing me away.
Yeah, I don't really see that here, and I don't know a single person here that's changed their gender or talked about it or thought about it or changed their name or anything under the age of 18. I mean, I know some adults in their late 20s and in their 30s and older, but no teens here in Arizona. Of course, I'm not around a lot of them, you know, so I wouldn't know. But the ones that I come in contact with because their parents are members of the American Legion or they're in the other veteran service organizations, Disabled American Veterans or VFW, the ones I come across, you know, that's not happening. And so it might be just because it's the atmosphere in Arizona, perhaps. I don't know. Or, you
maybe
know,
maybe there's more acceptance or there's more, it's more visible in daily life in California. I'm not really sure. But I've never noticed it previously as I'm noticing it now, and people are even, I was at the hairdresser's and I was talking to my hairdresser, and the man next door, he went, "Oh my God, it's so true. There's just so many teens right now that are letting people know that they're changing their genders. It's like an epidemic." And so it's not just me that noticing it. It's like, it's definitely something that's more visible in our present culture in California.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like everybody doesn't know. I mean, with the internet and social media and even regular broadcast media, you see it a lot, you know. And so it's commonly known. It's not like the kids in Colorado or San Diego or not San Diego, Colorado or I don't know, Texas or here in Arizona. It's not like they don't see all the same stuff. I mean, you know, they know it's going on. But just for some reason, it's happening in some areas, I don't know how to put it, you know, more frequently or more readily or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know either, but the wonderful thing is that teens are accepting teens. What comes out or what is being talked about is that the teens are really accepted for changing their gender. It's not like there's a stigmatism or there's, you know, like fallout, which is really different than in the past. There's more acceptance and more freedom to talk about all this. And it's just a wonderful thing that people can be more free.
I think so, but I don't know. I don't really think it's that accepted. I mean, I think that it's more accepted and we're much further along than we were, but there's still a ton of people, like half the population at least, you know, that are thumping
the Bible and saying, no.
I don't even think it's that. It's nothing to do with religion, you know. Like, I have my own views on it where it has nothing to do with religion. It's practicality. You know, a lot of it doesn't make sense to me, you know, and you could blame it on the generation I grew up in and things like that, perhaps, you know. And it's like, oh, Dax, you're just not aware. It's like, well, I don't know about that, you know. I mean, and I think some of this stuff is being forced on people younger and younger and younger, and it's not right. They're not giving people the time to experience life to some extent and to really know, you know. I mean, I knew some things were up with my sexuality from really, really young, but I didn't put a stamp on it and say yes for sure till I was like 21, 22 years old, you know. And that's not even changing gender. That's just sexuality, you know. And actually changing your gender, especially if you're going to go through the surgeries and the hormones and all that kind of stuff, you know, starting that at like 8 years old and 10 years old and some of the stuff that's going on nowadays, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's like, wait, you know, let them grow up and graduate from high school at least and kind of get more of a sense of who they are before you're going, oh, you have this notion that you saw on the internet about changing genders and you've decided that now you're a girl instead of a boy, and the parents just go along with that and you know, rush off to the surgeon. Okay, lop it off. Yeah, I mean, come on. That's insane. There's some insane stuff going on out there. And I completely support anybody that wants to, you know, be themselves, whatever that is, you know. And you got the people that are wanting to be non-gender. And then you got the people that want to change genders, you know, and sometimes they change genders and change sexuality, which is really confusing, really confusing. But anyway, you know, I completely support people that are adults and know what they're doing and have maybe taken the time to look at it, maybe done a little bit of counseling. And, you know, I know in there's a whole process in some, you know, not just changing your name and wearing different clothes, but if you're going to go through procedures and all this other stuff, you know, there's minimum amount of counseling required before a surgeon's going to do anything, you know. But if they go do all that and this is who they are, of course I completely support people. But I think that there's some craziness going on also. It's not a huge percentage, but it's enough where it's kind of scary. With much, much younger, we're talking preteen here. Preteens, I'm in the wrong body. And they're not even old enough to, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with sexuality, you know? We didn't realize that we were maybe, you know, not this sexuality or that sexuality till later on, you know? And now people are coming out at 12, I'm gay, and they have boyfriends. You know?
Well, it sounds like if that's what's happening in Arizona, then it's not that much different in California. Sounds like mm-hmm. it's happening.
Well, I'm not saying that that's any of that is happening in Arizona. That's not what I was saying. I was saying, just from what I know from watching television, the internet, whatever, you know, I see that in places around the world, this stuff's going on. And I've seen YouTube videos and I've seen, you know, lots and lots and lots of different news and programs. And in some countries, it's just really, really crazy. Some of the Scandinavian countries, I mean, I've seen documentaries on parents and their mixed genders, mixed sexualities, and then their kids, you know, are 7 years old and they're boys, but you know, one of them's wearing a dress, but the other one isn't, or maybe sometimes they both are. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, just oh man, you know, it's just, I mean, some of it goes too far. You know, I just think it's too early to know. You got to figure these things out. You know, you can't change somebody's life and they don't even know for sure what's going on. You know, they're like preteen and stuff like that. And, yeah, I think a lot more of it goes on the West Coast and probably parts of the East Coast, you know, than in the center of the country. And, but, you know, I'm all for the acceptance and people getting over themselves about, you know, a lot of this stuff. The United States is one of the most sexually repressed nations on the planet. You know, I mean, we can't have exposed female boobs, you know, on television. But you go to Europe and it's like, yeah, so what? No biggie.
Yeah, that's obvious in foreign films. When you go to international see international films or foreign films, and then it's like, whoa, did you just see that? It's like, oh, yeah, that film has been made in France. That's okay. You don't have to worry about it.
And I think some of, you know, the repression is finally lifting here in the States, but we still got a long way to go. You know, we're so repressed still, especially in certain parts of the country. It's just ridiculous.
If it goes along with birth control issues, it seems like we're becoming more suppressed.
Yeah,
but
it's like
that's a whole nother story.
Trying to go back to the 1950s is what they're trying to do, you know, and it's like, yeah, we can't go back to the 50s, guys. Sorry. You know, and it's just, it's insane that there's that large of a portion of our society that's that repressed and that regressive. I call them regressives. But it's not as big of a proportion as people think it is. You know, it's about in the 20s to 30s percent-wise of the population is that extreme. Most people are in the middle, you know. And then as far as the, you know, extreme progressives and liberals on the other side of the spectrum, it's about the same amount, 30%. 20 to 30%. The rest of us are in the middle here and trying to get along.
Find our balance. Find our balance in the middle.
I'm all about finding the balance. I mean, that's been something I've been preaching for a long time. I call it the Temperian principle, and it comes from the Temperance card in tarot, actually. And
Did you make up that word? Is that a real word, Temperian?
No, that's a real word. So when I was first studying tarot many decades ago, and there was something the Temperance card was always like my favorite card or one of my favorite cards, and I really didn't like the word. You know, even though the temperance movement has not been with us since the 20s, there's still a stigma to it where temperance, the word temperance, is attached to the movement of abstaining from drinking alcohol. That is not the middle. That is not balance. That is not the meaning of the temperance card. Okay, so I went to look for something else. And you see, to me, it was one of the extremes. You have alcoholism on one pole, and then the complete opposite on the other pole is that abstaining, which is attached to temperance, even though that's not the real meaning of the word. But it's still there. So I looked at the root word, temperare, and where we get to temper, like to make steel, temper iron into making steel. And I came across this word temperian, and it's no longer in use. It's an old English word. You can only find it in certain collegiate dictionaries. It won't show up in regular dictionaries, okay? And the meaning of the word is the middle path between two extremes. And I said, oh my God, that is temperance. I love that term, temperian. The middle path between extremes. And for me, that's what the temperance card is. And you look at the temperance card, and in the Waite-Smith version, there's a path leading from where the angel is, Michael, and it's, this narrow, narrow path leading up to the goal, going way out and then up the side of the mountain or hill to the goal at the top. And it makes such perfect sense that here's this narrow path, and that's exactly what the word temperance says, the middle path between the extremes.
And it's one of the seven virtues. So mm-hmm. it's spiritually looked up to as something to help us become more connected with inner harmony. Our inner harmony.
Yeah.
Balancing the yin and the yang.
Right. And for me, it's become all about that. And I call it the Temperian principle.
I
and
love
so
that. I think you should really turn that into something.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't know that people know that term. That's not something most people think about. But to make it into mm-hmm. a principle, it's elevating
yeah.
our awareness of what is this all about.
Right. And here's what the principle is that I developed. And I developed this years ago, several decades. I don't want to actually say. But the principle, the Temperian principle itself says that whenever you encounter a system that has polar opposites, that has duality, and so there's the positive pole on this side and way over there the negative side. Not that it's positive and negative. I'm just saying where there's two schools of thought, any two things that are polar opposites, and there's this system that contains polar opposites, the Temperian principle holds that the truth will always be in the middle, in this tiny pathway through the middle is where you will find the truth. The truth is never at the poles.
That is something that can be an overlay on the male and female coming together, having an argument. It's like the truth is always in the middle. It's not the male is right or the female mm-hmm. is right. It's kind of like meet in the middle, and you're able to see more of the truth. It's not the truth is on the
right
one side or the other. It's usually in the middle.
And that just comes from the fact that individuals have individual perception, and reality filters and so forth. So, and it doesn't even have to be male and female. It could be, two females, two males. It doesn't matter. Two people. When you have two people, each person is going to have their own observation and experience. And therefore, to them, what they think is the truth. And then the other person thinks that what they think is the truth, even if it's completely opposite. And there's something called confirmation bias, where when we already have a preconceived notion of what the truth is, then any information that comes in gets filtered by that confirmation bias. So we will see evidence that supports our theory and or to us our truth. And we will filter out evidence that actually shows it's not true, you see. And so it can be between people where if they're able to suspend their confirmation bias and suspend their belief and having to be right and then come to the center together, you can figure out what the real truth is. But it's also the same thing. Navigating any system where there are two polar opposites. So when you come to anything where people are having a discussion about something, you're able to find the truth by seeking, okay, where's the middle between these two things? That's where the truth is going to lie. And I've tested this over like 3 decades now. I apply it to every system that arises in front of me, and I go, okay, the truth is always on this narrow path between two extremes, the literal definition of the word temperance. And it's going to be somewhere in the middle, you know. So when I come to, you know, watching a debate on YouTube where you've got a evolutionary scientist debating a creationist, I'll look for the center of the information being presented. And that's where the truth is going to lie, because you'll always find out that opposites are just, you know, two sides of the same coin. They both have to exist because we live in a dualistic universe. And when you apply this principle, then you're able to get at the real truth. But you have to make sure you don't have your own confirmation bias, and you have to suspend your own bias, which is actually the real scientific the real scientific method, you know, looking for the evidence, creating a hypothesis, testing the hypothesis. But that's not what's going on nowadays, if you think about it. You got the materialistic scientists that have it in their mind that there's no God, there's no spiritual realm, nothing along those lines. And then you've got the folks on the other side of the camp that, okay, God created the entire universe and all of us in a few days, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago tops. And we know that's not true, you know. But they both have confirmation bias. They will, creationists will come up with evidence that they've secured that talks to their side, you know, and then the scientists have the same confirmation bias. They won't even look at the unseen, you know. It has to fit into the material realm. So they both miss the point. The truth is actually in the middle. Evolution's going on, and conscious creation is going on.
How about with politics? Do you think the truth is in the middle with all these political debates?
Absolutely, because the majority of people, you know, the real populace out there, if you go and talk to them, and they do, because they do what? They do polls. And you find out that the vast majority of people are in the middle in their views. They're not Republican or Democrat, even if they label themselves as such. They're not progressive or regressive. They're not, you know, liberal, conservative. A lot of times they're both. I'm a perfect example. You know, I mean, I am way down the middle. You know, I'm a gay man, so I'm socially liberal. I believe in the rights of everyone. But at the same time, I was in the military. And, you know, I fought for the rights to keep the system of government, you know, including things like the Second Amendment, you know, which a lot of liberals don't like the Second Amendment. They think that we should, you know, ban all guns, for instance, you know. I hold a lot of views that go back and forth, and mainly what it is that I don't have confirmation bias on these things. I don't set out with a particular thought, you know, and that's why I don't belong to a political party. I'm independent because, you know, real democracy is independent. Real democracy is not belonging to a party, and I'm only going to vote for people that are in this party forever. You know, a real democratic system works best when, okay, you have an election, somebody gets in there, you support them, and you see what they do over how many years it is, let's say 4 years. 4 years later, you go and evaluate, and you say, okay, what did they do right? What did they do wrong? Who is going to have the best interest of all of the country. And then you vote. And mostly vote. That's the ridiculous thing. How many people do we have in this country? 329 million people. And a handful of people decided what was going to go on in the country for the next 4 years for all 329 people in this country. That's insane. It's because people don't go out and vote. You know, even amongst the people that are registered to vote, they don't all turn out, you know. And in other countries that have more recently acquired democracy, 80% vote, you know. They have this amazing freedom now. They're actually able to vote, you know. We take it all for granted. Ah,
there's so many weird things happening now. I don't know that any of us are taking it for granted anymore. It's pretty scary out there.
Oh yeah, it's really scary, really scary. Let me check the phone lines and see if anybody's called in. Okay, we have a couple of callers.
Oh, they're going to have. They've had an interesting dialogue to filter through to get to their.
I know, I know. Well, when we started the show, we had a bunch of callers, and then when I was about to go to calls, suddenly they all started falling off the queue. And I don't know if that was a problem with Blog Talk where it was hanging up on them, you know, or a combination of people leaving and things happening technically, but they all disappeared. So we just went with
maybe
the conversation, you know.
Maybe we were talking too much about things other than psychic stuff.
Yeah. But it was only a few minutes into the show. You know, we had barely gotten started. Yeah. Just absolutely crazy stuff, crazy. Before we go to the phone lines, though, we've got, we've got area code 917 coming up, followed by 630. So hang in there, guys. We're going to be with you in just a second here. I want to let folks know some of the shows coming up on the network. Monday, we've got two shows tomorrow. And Janice Fuchs is doing How Does Connecting to the Soul Bring Out Your Spiritual Gifts? On her show, Wisdom of the Soul, at 10 a.m. Pacific, followed by 11 a.m. Pacific, a new series of shows empowering you on the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Show with Catherine Hahn. And then Rose is going to be on, Rose Fullhorst, on Tuesday, July 2nd, on her Power of Three show, and I'm going to join her as guest co-host, kind of like what I'm doing with you right now, Cooch, and we're going to talk about how can you use the vibrations of numbers in your life on a more practical level. And I'll also be on Wednesday with Charlotte Kornberg. We have a guest co-host, Sharona Rapsik from The Sunday Show.
Party
the
time.
Sunday Show. Yeah, the other Sunday show, Angelic Realms. You know, it's every other Sunday. You know, it's Angelic Realms, then one of your shows, Cooch, then Angelic Realms, then one of your show. But Angelic Realms is on hiatus this summer, and I said, Sharona, why don't you come on some of the other shows and hang out? So she's going to be on a lot of the Wednesday shows. She's popping in on Friday. She's going to be on Saturday, the 20th of April. I'm sorry, listen to me, the 20th of July. We're doing a whole show on RX for readers. Prescription for readers. So everybody's giving their tips on, you know, how to prepare for readings and during readings and after readings. You know, what do you do? What's the tips? You know, how do you hold your energy up? How do you avoid energetic attachments? You know, any tips you have on prescription for readers? You know, what do you eat? How do you sleep? I mean, anything that has to do with preparation, you know, before, during, and after reading. So she's going to be on that show as well. But she's going to be on Wednesday with us, and we're doing open lines and mini readings. Stephanie will be back with Stephanie's Got It Tarot on Thursday. And we're doing What is Intuitive Life Coaching on Friday with Kathy and Dr. Rose Wilkerson. And then Saturday, it's Mystical Musings with Mary Brown. She's going to talk about inner strength. And no show Sunday the 7th because Angelic Realms is on break. That's right. But we'll be back with another Cosmic Coffee coming up. I'm trying to bring my calendar up here, Cooch. So no show on the 7th, but on the 14th, 2 weeks from today, Cooch and I will be back with Cosmic Coffee. And then 2 weeks from then, on the 28th, it's the nighttime show, Tarot d'Amour, 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern. Yes, and that went off really well last couple weeks ago. It was great.
That was actually fun, and people were thanking me, so that was really nice.
Yeah, I think they really liked the time slot and having something at night like that. And I couldn't believe how many callers we had. And speaking of callers, let's see who's waiting out there. I just wanted to leave everybody with go to psychictalk.net/upcoming. And you can see all these upcoming shows. Psychictalk.net/upcoming. You can check out the posts and you can get, you know, the time, start times in your area, everything on that page. Let's see, who's been waiting the longest? Oh, I got the Four of Cups as the card of the day. Huh. Interesting. So there might be something coming that you're not seeing, folks. And it's a three-day and a three-date in numerology, so communication and creativity. Looks like area code 917 has been waiting the longest. Hello, caller 917. Are you there? Hello?
They went out for their latte.
Could be. Either that or they, you know, went to a bathroom break. Yeah, we'll go back to that line. We'll try it later. We're just going to go over to area code 630. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My name is Dion, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Chicago. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Awesome.
Dion, do you have a question about your love life?
I do.
I felt it.
How did you know that?
Did you know that?
Doesn't she sound emotional? You sound emotional.
She could be emotional because her dog died. How do you know it's romance, you know? But anyway, what's going on with you?
Well, cool. Yes, you picked up on that. So I recently reconciled. Thank you. I recently reconciled with one of my friends, and that was a big turning point in my life for me. And everything went good. I just wanted to know if you see, like, if I'm going to be seeing him soon, or I want to know about the communication end of it, or how you feel around that.
Well, it's interesting because today is a three-day, and it's a three-date, too, and creativity and communication are at the forefront, you know, so it's no accident that you're calling in today. What do you think, Cooch?
Well, I'm looking at the card, the Hanged Man. That's what I pulled for you. And actually, if you do numerology on the Hanged Man, which is the Major Arcana 12, it's 1 plus 2 equals a 3, which is going along with Dax saying it's a 3-day. But The Hanged Man is oftentimes, when you're looking at an emotional situation, it's the possibility of getting hung up, because Hanged Man being hung up. So if you can really look at your feelings and kind of like let them flow in and out of your heart freely without getting hung up on them, you're going to have an easier time waiting and wondering about how this is going to how this relationship is going to evolve. So my sense is really celebrate that you've reconciled and you're in connection, but watch the freedom to enjoy the feelings instead of being so attached to the outcome that you aren't able to enjoy just kind of sitting around wondering about what might happen. That would be the hanged man for me. What did you get, Dax? Did you pull a card?
Oh, of course. Dion, would he, or hold on a second. I just lost my place here with the cards. would he be an earth sign, a Taurus, Virgo, or a Capricorn?
No, he's on the cusp of Gemini and Cancer.
And Cancer. Okay, I'm just wondering.
Well, he's just having a birthday, right?
Yeah.
So I sent him a video message for his birthday, and then, like, he didn't say anything, but he's kind of quiet anyway. And so then I called him on Tuesday, and we spoke, and he's like, okay, I'll call you. And then, you know, I know he wouldn't have picked up the phone if he wasn't interested. So I'm just like, well, how interested is he in me? Does he want to see me now? Or?
What is your intuition telling you about him and your relationship? If you kind of detach from thinking logically or not having expectations and not focusing on what you're hoping is going to happen. So in other words, you kind of just get centered in the neutrality of the center of your inner being. And it's like, what is your intuition telling you that you can possibly expect from him in the near future? What's your intuition telling you?
I feel like, you know, he answered the phone, so he was interested, you know. But if he was really interested, he would call me and ask me out. And because he's not doing that, my logical mind is like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to get away from the logic of it. You know, there's no logic in this. You know, there never is logic in romance. You got to come from the feeling space and do what Cooch was talking about. Okay, so what I'm getting is the Magician card that says that you have all the power. You can manifest things the way you want to manifest it, right? And Cooch was giving you clues as to how to do that. You know, getting into the feeling space of it as opposed to being in the head about it, okay? And then, you know, I'm getting a lot of cards about relationships. The number two in numerology is relationships, and I got the Two of Wands and the Two of Cups and then the Ace of Cups.
Wow, that is good. Because Two of Cups is reconciliation, and Ace of Cups is your cups literally – like flowing over.
Overflowing, yeah. Yeah, it's also the beginning and the essence of love, joy, inner beauty, or health. Yeah.
Because this is dark of the moon and emotional energy can kind of be ebbing instead of flowing sometimes, or things are more under the surface instead of on the outside, or people can maybe miss some of the vibes because vibes can be low key instead of really strong with the dark of the moon. My sense is wait until after this coming eclipse new moon that's on Tuesday, I think, before you really knock on his door, so to speak, so that you're becoming from a place of planting new seeds during a new moon, not letting your emotions being eclipsed by this eclipse, which can sometimes bring, I don't want to say confusion, but just because eclipses are rare and astrologically they represent like a totally different kind of vibration from the norm. So you kind of want to let that energy kind of subside, move through that before you really start doing anything where you're investing more of your emotional energy. So I would just be kind of patient and move slow and then
start setting intentions. Patience, it's funny that you said patience because that was the next thing I was going to talk about. So the last card is the Knight of Pentacles, and it's a card of practicality and methodical progress, but it's patience. It's patience. And that's why I asked if he happened to be an earth sign, because I'm getting the Knight of Coins, the Knight of Pentacles, which usually a lot of times represent somebody that's Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. But in this case, it's just talking about those aspects that you're making slow progress. It's slow and methodical, and you got to have the patience. That's why that card's showing up.
Okay.
So I hope that helped you out.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling
in.
It was fun. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. It's almost over. Oh my God, Monday coming again.
Oh my God.
Let's go back to that other line and see if they've come back to their phone yet. Area code 917. Caller, are you there? What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, area code 917. Are you there? Maybe they have a bad line or something. What I'm going to do is
he's just there, but he doesn't want to talk.
Well, then he shouldn't have raised her hand, or he.
It might have been a mistake or something.
They might have a bad line or something, and they might not even know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click off that line and hang it up so that they can dial back in. Okay, so we're going to go to 916. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Ray, and I'm calling from Sacramento.
Hey, Sacramento.
Hi, Ray.
How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing? How's your Sunday treating you?
Fabulous. I'm loving it. It's a little hot here in Tucson.
Yeah, it's about 90 degrees here, and I'm hot here. I was calling to see if you guys would be able to give me some guidance in terms of my career, if that's possible. I'm completely at a loss, and I'm kind of desperate in a way.
So what's the question then? Okay, so you're in this desperate situation. What are you trying to do career-wise, and what do you really need help or guidance in specifically, so we can kind of narrow in there?
Yeah, so I've applied to different firms, and I'm in public relations, and I'm in really the communications field, and I just need to know what would be best for me. I've already gotten denied by a couple of firms, and I just want to know what's the next move I should get or what you see coming up. I just want to start my career.
Awesome. And Ray, I'm going to put your line on hold for a minute because there's a lot of background noise. And Cooch, are you getting anything for Ray for his career? How can he get things going here?
Well, strangely, another three has showed up, but this time it's a three of swords. And swords correspond to the element air, the intellect, ideas. You've got to put your ideas in a really positive order, because with the three of swords, you can maybe tear into yourself in a way that you're criticizing your situation, or you're looking at what might go wrong instead of what's going right. So really try to look at all of your positive qualities and align with making your efforts really bring in the positive light, so that you're seeking the right job and not wondering where it is, but trusting that it's out there. But really looking at all the options, or, you know, brainstorming to find more than one option, so you're not just like, oh, what if is it going to be in this direction? Look at all the different possibilities that you know of in your area, and try to ask your higher self or your intuition to guide you to finding the right situation, the right people, because the universe is kind of asking you to, like, slow down and soul search right now. It's not giving you a definite. So you have to trust that the universe knows your best direction, and it has you in a holding pattern for a reason. This holding mm-hmm. pattern is giving you time to get to the right place. So know that you're on a really good path going to the right career situation. And the reason you haven't got there yet is because you have to wait a little longer for the right situation to materialize. So my sense is don't be stressing about this. Know that you're on the right path, and it's just kind of juggling possibilities and letting the universe work through that time and space element to bring you to the right situation at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Can you click
Let's
him
bring
back
Ray
on?
Back on.
Yeah, bring Ray back on.
That's what I was saying. I got to click him back on. Hold on. Hi, Ray. Did that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's pretty much why I'm not so stressed. I mean, I kind of am, because I think inwardly it's like, I think the right time just has to come. Maybe I just need validation, but at the same time, it's like, I can't wait to start my career already, because I'm driving for Uber in San Francisco, and I just want to get started already. But I've also turned down opportunities. Because I said, I just don't think it's right.
Well, I think the universe does that. The universe does that when we're not really there yet. And what I'm getting in my card is all talking about taking more time to go in yourself, look back, what is it that really makes your heart sing? What would be emotionally satisfying, not just the paycheck, not just a job, but an actual career, something you can really sink your teeth into. And then that's when it's going to break free, because the Four of Wands is here, that celebration. And right next to it's the Three of Pentacles. There's that three again, creativity, communication. And this is two, three or more people coming together, working on a project of some sort. So that's showing up in my cards, and the Knight of Cups bringing a message about that. Looks like that's going to happen soon. But a lot of the other cards are talking about going inside and really getting crystal clear about what it is you want, because you need to do that in order to attract it in. It's not about, you know, sending out the resumes, you know, like throwing as much mud as you can at the wall, hoping something sticks, you know. I mean, something will eventually stick, you know. I mean, if you keep sending out resumes, eventually something will stick. But that's not necessarily what you want. That's not what's going to be emotionally satisfying and fulfilling. That's what you really need. So you need to figure that out. Okay, and then the nostalgia card, the Six of Cups, is showing up saying, hey, you got to think back to between ages of, say, 5 up to, like, maybe as far as, like, 11, 12. You know, what was it that you were really excited about? What made your eyes light up? That's going to give you a clue, according to what's showing up in the cards here. If you go inside yourself, it's going to give you a clue what you're really supposed to be doing. And then you can build a whole visualization of that, where you can really know exactly what it is. And then the universe is going to give that to you, because you have to know the address, or the GPS can't take you there.
Well, I'm getting an address, because I'm looking at the Temperance card. I pulled the Temperance card for you. And the Temperance has like a body of water in the forefront and mountains in the distance. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, you live in Sacramento. This looks like going to either Mount Shasta or somewhere where there's a mountain and a lake. And so I'm wondering if maybe you do a little traveling to the mountains or to Tahoe, or someplace where there's like mountains and a lake. Are you a Tahoe kind of person? Do you like mountains?
Not, I'm more of a water person. I'm more of the islands. However, you know, I don't know if this is a stretch or not. There is a PR firm that I really, really admire, and I had an opportunity. I had a 2-hour interview with them, and they didn't tell me yes, and they didn't tell me no. They said I'm one of three or four finalists. And their PR firm is probably about 100 feet from the river, and mountains like in the backdrop in a sense. I don't know if that's the same thing.
Well, I'm getting mountains and water. So I'm like, you know, maybe instead of like you're doing Uber driving in San Francisco, you need to be like scouting like vacation areas where you can see mountains and breathe in really fresh air and jump into the water, that might help you align with your essence where you're going to feel more connected to wherever you interview and they're going to feel your power more. So if you have a place already in mind where you see mountains and it's right next to water, I think there's something to investigate more in that kind of an environment for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
so good luck.
Thanks for the call,
you.
Ray. Good luck
and
on
good
that.
Luck to you.
Thanks. Go bye now.
You're going to be working. Just know that.
Okay.
You're ready.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Meanwhile, keep Ubering. And, you know, I'm actually kind of jealous. I would love to be an Uber driver in San Francisco, my favorite city to drive around in. Of course, you don't want to try to park. But anyway, when
yeah,
I moved to San
exactly.
Francisco, when I moved to San Francisco, I was there maybe a couple months, three tops, and I sold my car because I had already gotten, I don't know, about 18 parking tickets. And I was having to park on the street, and I'm like, you know, that's it. I really don't need a car. So I got rid of my car, and I traded it in for a $35 Muni pass and just took the cable car and took the streetcars and the Muni and wherever I needed to go in the city, or I walked. Of course, I was young then. I was 30, you know, so just 28, 29, 30, just walk around. Missed the good old days.
You were walking through your Saturn return.
Yeah. Whatever that means, but okay.
Well, that happens when you're 28 and 29, is Saturn comes back to its original position on your natal chart, and it's a time of waking up. It's a time of waking up and walking your journey to becoming more authentically you.
I definitely became more authentically me, but it still didn't help. Yeah, it actually, you know, oh, God, my speaker headset thing popped out on me here. I've always been late with everything, you know.
Are you a late bloomer?
No, actually, it's weird because I'm actually an early bloomer on almost everything except for when it comes to certain things. Like it took me to my 40s. To figure out, actually late 40s, to figure out, you know, what I'm really supposed to be doing. And I'm still working on that. I'm still now, you know, years later, 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, after I figured this out, I'm still working on getting set up for it before I launch. And I'm also a perfectionist, so I'm going to have everything perfect before I launch, you see, and which is a mistake. I mean, I should.
For a Gemini,
should.
That's a mistake because you're perfectionist. So trying
yeah,
to get everything perfect before you launch is like, what? You're always going to be working on getting it right.
Yeah, well, the thing is that some really wise people, you know, I've listened to what they had to say, you know, and they say, you know, you always, instead of ready, aim, shoot, you shoot, ready, aim. Course correct as you go along. And if I had known all this back when I was, you know, 20, I would have done that, you know. But because I'm a perfectionist, coupled with the fact, you know, that I like to research things. I like to get things right. And, you know, it's just taken me a long time. And even when I knew I had figured it out, I still didn't get going because that was, again, 5-7 years ago, you know. But I'm working on it now. Things are about to change, and things are about to get going, and I'm really excited about it.
Dax, I have this really silly feeling that you were saying the exact same thing about your life 10 years ago, and you're going to be saying the exact same thing about your life in the next 10 years because you're always going to be working on it.
Nope. That's how it was before. That's true. But see, I've gone through a lot of work in the last few years, a lot of consciousness work and study and practice and so forth, where I've made certain realizations, you know, where I am able to what they call break the cycle. And I'm really excited about that. Really excited. Of course, I'll always be learning and always adding things and so forth, and, you know, making tweaks and all those kind of things, you know. But that's my advice to everybody is, you know, as soon as you, you know, even have a glimmer in a particular direction, just pull the trigger, then ready, then aim. That's the secret. You get going.
Go for your target.
Yep. It's just like when I give the analogy of the GPS for the law of attraction. You got to get the destination correct, but you don't need to know the house. So in other words, you put the destination in, the goal, and you put the vehicle in gear and you start driving. It doesn't matter if you're going in the opposite direction. You know, the universe will turn you around and get you going in the right direction and put the people, places, and things that you need in your path to get you to your goal. But you have to know the goal and put the goal in. Yep. Whew. So we've gone
past the top of the hour.
An hour and 7 minutes.
Well, maybe we should temper this show, get to the very center of between you and I, and bring it to closure.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, though, even though it was kind of a weird
I got to
vibe.
Know you a lot more. I felt like I was interviewing you today. It was a Dax interview day, but I do have one question for you. Since we've been talking about
surface.
Your life so much. I know. We hardly have begun. But when you were in the service, did the military know you were gay?
No, of course not.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Because I know, I didn't know, and I was
curious. No, that was a long time ago. That was before Don't Ask, Don't Tell didn't even exist. That was way, way back when it wasn't accepted at all. I mean, it was – I'm not talking
about – You didn't even talk about it.
Well, I'm not even talking about at the level of you just don't talk about it. You know, I mean, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not even talking about acceptance socially. That's not what I'm talking about. It was illegal. People don't understand it. You know, people growing up nowadays and, I'm 12 years old, I'm gay. It doesn't even enter their mind that, folks, it wasn't that long ago that it was illegal in parts of the country. And not only that, and this is a great conversation for the end of Pride Month here, as we're ending today. Not only that, in the military, if you were gay, you got separated. They got rid of you.
No questions asked, just out.
Yeah, just out. And so yes, gay people serving in the military, which, yes, there was tons, And, you know, just like any part of the population, 10%, you know, but we didn't hardly talk amongst ourselves about it, let alone, you know, like I didn't know who was gay because they couldn't talk about it either. So how would I know? See? And it just wasn't, you know, wasn't talked about. And then, you know, a little bit later, they came out with don't ask, don't tell. So it's like, okay, you know, as long as the military is not going to ask anymore. They used to ask. That was one of the things when you went in for your physical, one of the questions on the form, you know, I mean, that literally the doctor's there in the white coat and they just ask you, you know, are you gay? Are you lesbian? Because they're just going to separate you right there. They're not even going to send you to boot camp, you know? And, you know, then came along the don't ask, don't tell, which was the military is not going to ask, but you have to not tell. Otherwise, you're still separate. In fact, in some segments of the military, the investigations and the separations actually sped up. They were actually worse than before don't ask, don't tell. Little known thing. And then, then the military became integrated, you know, and so now you can openly serve in the military, and people don't even blink an eye, you know. Now the whole thing is, do we or do we not allow the transgendered people to stay in the military? So now that's, you know, the controversy just keeps shifting. every generation there's a different controversy. You know, should we allow blacks in the military? Okay, should we allow gays in the military? Okay, now it's should we allow transgender people in the military? You know, and the military has always been, you know, there's always been a higher proportion of folks from various minorities and so forth in the military, and economic conditions, you know, in the military to begin with. So the military has always been a bellwether of what's going on in society. You know, they were accepting gays finally before the rest of the population. I mean, before we had like marriage equality, it had already been taken care of pretty much in the military. Same thing with, say, you know, African Americans and segregation and all that, you know, the civil rights movement of the 60s. Well, African Americans and other ethnic minorities had already been integrated into the military way before then. So we knew where society was going to eventually go because what had happened in the military, you see. So the military is always a precognitive of what's going to happen in society. You know, integration of minorities, integration of women and their roles in the military and being opened up to being combat vets even and pilots, you know, fighter pilots and so forth like that. Integration of gays. Now we're at the point of integration with transgender, which was actually happening before Trump became president. You know, that was a done deal. We'd already had the gay integration. Then marriage equality came in and they were integrating transgenders in. And then Trump got elected and he's trying to put the quash on that now. But if that had not happened, then we would have had full integration in the military by this point, which means as a bellwether of 5 to 10 years after the military does it, we'd have integration in all of society. So without the interference of Trump, we within 5 to 10 years of that, which would have been about now, between now and the next 5 years, Cooch, we would have seen the acceptance in the general population skyrocket with those minority groups, transgender and similarly related minorities.
Wow.
Yep.
Dax, you've been so generous. Yeah, you've been so generous sharing your insights, because it is Pride Awareness and it is the month to celebrate gay rights. And I'm like, thanks, Dax, for bringing more info and more putting the spotlight on some really valuable information. So
yeah.
Thank you so much.
So in 2 weeks, you're going to be back. What are you going to talk about on Cosmic Cafe?
Maybe just a focus on using our intuition and how people perceive their intuitive process. Maybe ask some of our callers about their intuition when they're getting readings or whatever. I was thinking
right.
That would be really interesting.
That sounds like fun.
It more a part of daily life. It's like, how do you bring it in?
Intuition in your daily life. Yeah, that sounds like a fun one. All righty. Well,
thanks, Tooch. It was fun hanging
out with you this Sunday.
It was fun hanging out with you. Thank you so much, Dax.
And thanks to
Take
our
good
listeners
care.
And our callers and everybody. And we'll see you next time.
And the
Bye,
moon
everybody.
Will be
Bye,
waxing.
Tooch.
It'll almost be full instead of dark. Yay.
Oh, that's awesome.